Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a Stranorder GP is warning that if vaccination targets are to be met, a lot of the red tape needs to be removed. After a lengthy campaign, a permanent ambulance base has been confirmed for Buncrana. It's a significant day for Derry and Strabane as the heads of agreement for the £250 million city deal are signed. And a new primary care centre in Newton Cunningham is set to be complete by year's end. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin. First in news though, the government expects to have the capacity to deliver 500,000 vaccinations a week later this year. It's hoped 82% of people will have had their first injection by the end of June. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
The government's insisted that the only impediment to the vaccination programme will be actual access to doses, and this seems to be backed up by figures obtained by this station suggesting there will be the capacity between max vaccination centres and GP surgeries to deliver 500,000 vaccinations a week from around April. Now, it's thought the system will never actually reach that capacity due to constraints on supply, with the current projections having 250,000 vaccinations a week being given in the second quarter of the year. But should extra supply come on scene, there is the infrastructure in place to deliver more than that. Meanwhile, a further row has emerged over the priority list for vaccination. While those at high risk with underlying conditions are being moved up the list, family carers are not. Chair of the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, Professor Corina Butler, explains.
There is good news for them in that those they are caring for in the main have been prioritised for vaccination, so that it has to be our first target.
NIAC is still examining the issue, but given there's around 500,000 family carers, there's reluctance to revise the list on that sort of scale again, as for every person you move up, someone else has to move down. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Well, a Stranorder GP is warning that if vaccination targets are to be met, a lot of the red tape needs to be removed. Most COVID-19 vaccines are said to be administered in mass vaccination centres, which in turn means they need to be adequately staffed. Those workers will need to be guard vetted, a process which could take weeks and potentially slow up the rollout of the vaccination programme. Speaking earlier on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Kieran O'Farrie believes a simpler process could be put in place.
You know, if that's predominantly going to be done in these mass vaccination centres, 34 centres, we're talking about, you know, 30,000 vaccines a day. So that's over 1,000 vaccines every day, 7 days a week in each of these centres. So we need lots of people, lots of medical people, administrators. And, you know, so some of the red tape that comes with government applications just slows this all up. So they started a recruitment campaign last week. So I went online to try and volunteer for that. I'm a GP in Donegal, so I've done Garda vetting. You know, I do vaccines all the time, but I'm still being asked to go through the entire process, including submitting things like birth certs, CVs, references, photo IDs, and that all just slows up the process.
And effectively what you're saying is at a time when we need to be getting people into the centres to do the vaccinations, we could find ourselves spending weeks and weeks and weeks just waiting to get the staff there. And you don't believe that level of bureaucracy is actually necessary in this case?
I don't think so. I think, like, you know, time is lives here. We need to get this going. We need to be available. What we want is to get as many vaccines to as many people as possible, as soon as possible. This came up this morning because it came out that of the 75,000 people who applied to be on call for Ireland last year and who went through the process of submitting an application and Garda vetting, only 330 of those were actually recruited. And of the other 74,000+, any of them who now want to be available to vaccinate have to go through the application process all over again.
The HSE has confirmed that a number of other locations are being considered as vaccination sites in Donegal. Last week, Letterkenny Institute of Technology was confirmed as a mass vaccination centre for the county. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Widespread concern was raised following the announcement last week that the LYIT was to be the sole mass vaccination site for Donegal. In response to a question put forward at the meeting of the Regional Health Forum West by Councillor Albert Doherty, John Hayes, Chief Officer for CHO1, confirmed that work is currently ongoing to fit out the LYIT, with work there expected to be completed shortly. It was also confirmed that other satellite sites in the county are being considered in Inishowa North West and West South Donegal, which Mr Hayes says will be used to vaccinate priority groups. He says that as availability increases and a greater number of cohorts become eligible for the vaccine, the delivery model, including the locations and workforce, will transition to support a larger volume of vaccinations.
The Taoiseach has clashed with the Labour leader in the Dáil over the amount of Brazilian people arriving into the country. Alan Kelly said it was laughable to ask people to stay within their 5 kilometre limit while 2,000 Brazilians have come into the country over a number of weeks this year. Taoiseach Micheál Martin rejected the criticism of his government's approach to mandatory quarantine for people.
And I think it's a bit populist and I think wrong in the way you spoke about 2,000 Brazilians coming into the country. Like, there are many of those are Irish. Many could, what I mean, it could be Irish residents. I don't know the exact 2,000, but people have Brazilian. There's a Brazilian community. Hold on, please. There's a Brazilian community in Ireland.
The Department of Education says it intends to offer an expanded summer programme to children with additional needs. A summer provision was made available last year, and the details of this year's scheme are still being worked out. Plans by the British government will see some secondary pupils in England attending extra summer classes to make up for lost time. Dr. Deirdre McGillicuddy from the UCD School of Education, who's a former primary school teacher, believes the focus here should be on children with additional needs.
There are children who have lost out during the pandemic, so I would certainly want to see increased resourcing for schools supporting the most marginalised within our society, with a very clear plan on how to close the gap now between those children and the children who have had that kind of support throughout the pandemic.
Two additional COVID-related deaths have been reported in the north today. 260 people have also tested positive for the virus in the last 24 hours in Northern Ireland. There are 356 patients being treated for the disease in hospitals, with 44 in ICU. After a lengthy campaign, a permanent ambulance base has been confirmed for Buncrana. Cover is set to be provided in the town 7 days a week from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. The base will be located at the site of the current Buncrana Medical Centre on MacArthur's Road. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says it's hoped that all will be up and running later in the year.
The old health centre will soon become the new ambulance base. As I say, we have ambulance cover, a second ambulance cover for South Inishowen, but that base now can make it a permanent, it will be, but a full-time 24-hour second service is what we will have when that base is operational. So I think it's a huge tribute to all of the people who campaigned for years and the families who, you know, some of the families who were bereaved and suffered because of this deserve huge credit for speaking out and for pushing this forward. I have to say it is a good news story. The timeline for the location is they're saying that the final quarter, they said the third quarter, I believe it will be the final quarter of this year. So whenever the new primary centre is opening, they will relocate from the old one. So at that point, that will be your new ambulance base. So basically the end of this year will be, there is, as I say, already a second ambulance cover, but that'll be a permanent base in that old centre, and it's very welcome.
It's a significant day for Derry and Strabane as the heads of agreement for the £250 million city deal are signed. Almost £80 million has been allocated for numerous regeneration projects for Strabane, with the remainder to be spent in the city region. The Public Expenditure Minister has acknowledged that in order for the deal to reach its full potential, there must be a huge effort this side of the border also. Minister Michael McGrath told today's 9 till noon show that the Shared Island Initiative will play an important role in complementing the deal.
The Taoiseach has established a new Shared Island Initiative, and that's a dedicated unit within the Department of an Taoiseach, and we have backed that up with hard money. So in the budget, we announced that there would be a €500 million fund essentially for infrastructure development and for an envelope for the Irish government to make a contribution to vital north-south projects. In addition to that, in my own department, I'm directly involved in the formation, along with Conor Murphy, the Minister for Finance of Northern Ireland, of the new Peace Plus programme. And that will be a €1 billion programme over the next number of years for Northern Ireland and for border counties. So we're working through the special EU programmes body, which of course is a north-south body set up under the Good Friday Agreement. That offers enormous potential. And in addition, then, we have the EU ERDF funding as well, that I think offers great potential for the Northwest. So we are committed to doing all that we can, but I think that the Shared Island Initiative and the support that we're providing in practical terms now for various North-South projects will, I think, open up that economic potential that is undoubtedly.
The Donegal-based Irish Islands Marine Resource Organisation has been officially designated an EU producer organisation. The organisation is based on Armagh Island and represents the interests of island fisheries throughout the islands of Ireland. The move is expected to be a significant boost to offshore communities. Marine Minister Charlie McConlough says it will mean local fishermen will have a bigger voice at the table.
Well, it's a positive step forward for the Irish Islands Marine Resource Organisation in that it ensures they have a seat at the top table, representing island fishermen and inshore fishermen in all discussions that would happen, both with the Department of Agriculture and also among the wider fishing industry. It's something the island fishermen have been seeking for a significant period of time. It was a commitment that was contained in the programme for government, and it's something I'm very happy to have worked with them and to ensure now is being delivered. So that both island fishermen and inshore fishermen will have added weight and added representation now in terms of all decisions that are made with regard to their futures.
Quite a timely appointment when there are such an array of concerns facing fishermen.
Yeah, it's really important. Obviously, it's a key time for the fishing sector coming out of Brexit and the challenges that has arisen as a result of that, particularly in relation to the impact on our quota. And also, particularly, I think, for inshore fishermen and for island fishermen, they have particular challenges. That's really important that they are represented. And the fact that the Irish Islands Marine Resource Organisation now will be a full producer organisation and have the supports that come with that will provide a real strong avenue for island fishermen and inshore fishermen to be fully representative and ensure that their voice is heard. And I look forward to working very closely with them as Minister for Marine in the time ahead.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's almost 5:15 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic Games, and the GAA are seeking further clarity from the government regarding a return to play. The association says it'll be Easter at the earliest before any inter-county action is possible. The GAA say the government's living with COVID roadmap makes it impossible to plan fixtures for 2021. Moving on to rugby, and Munster and Leinster have been guaranteed home draws for the last 16 of this season's rearranged Heineken Champions Cup. They've been given home advantage based on results in the curtailed pool stage. Both Ulster and Connacht Day drop into the Challenge Cup. Draws for the knockout stages of both competitions will be made on March the 9th. The round of 16 is due to be played across the first weekend in April. The Champions Cup final is still penciled in for Marseille on May the 22nd. Elsewhere, Ian Henderson says he's only ever had eyes on playing for Ireland. The Lock has signed an extension to stay with Ulster through the summer of 2023. Henderson says he's not a player to use interest from abroad as leverage for a better deal.
Most of the players, the type of people they are, they're not really most of our team and most of the provinces anyway. They wouldn't really play a lot of people off each other. So I think there's been a lot of factors which have made negotiations this year a lot different.
Elsewhere, former teammates have led the tributes to ex-Ireland prop Gary Halpin, who has died at the age of 55. The Kilkenny native won 11 international caps and scored a famous try against the All Blacks at the 1995 World Cup. Halpin also represented Ireland at the 1987 World Athletics Championships in the Hammer event. Moving on to soccer, and Finn Harps have announced the signings of Joel Bradley Walsh, Lee McLaughlin and Ronan Gallagher. They've all signed first-team contracts for the new season, and they've moved up from the academy. The three have been ever-present for Tommy Canning's under-19 side last season and have come through those academy ranks in the past few years. Joel Bradley Walsh joined Harps Academy under-17s from Capri Rovers in 2018. Lee McLaughlin signed with the club in 2017 from Carndonagh FC, and Ronan Gallagher joined the club from Glenree United in 2018. Head of Academy Kevin McHugh emphasised the need for hard work and patience from the young players, and manager Ollie Horgan echoed McHugh's sentiments. He said the three lads have been in training with the first team for a while now, and they've held their own. The 2021 season kicks off on March the 19th when Bows visit Finn Park. Dundalk, they've added some proven firepower to their squad ahead of the new season. They've signed former Derry City and Sligo Rovers striker Junior. The 26-year-old was the top goalscorer in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division in 2019 while at Derry. Elsewhere across channel, Manchester City's quadruple odyssey has taken them to Budapest. The Premier League leaders are playing in the away leg of the Champions League tie with Borussia Mönchengladbach on a neutral ground. Kickoff there is at 8 o'clock. At the same time, last season's surprise package, Atalanta, they entertain Real Madrid. And Spurs, they should book their place in the Europa League last 16 this evening. They hold a 4-1 lead heading into their second leg at home to Wolfsburg. Matt Doherty has started the game for a much-changed Spurs side. That game kicked off at 5 o'clock. After the first 10 minutes, it was still scoreless. In the Scottish Premier League tonight, there's one game down for decision. St Mirren, they're up against Motherwell. And in the Championship in England, there's six ties down for decision. Barnsley play Stoke. Second place Brentford host Sheffield Wednesday. Swansea are up against Coventry. Blackburn Rovers play Watford. Bournemouth, they host Cardiff City. And Preston North End, they play Queen's Park Rangers. In snooker, Jordan Brown has come crashing down to earth with a bang. After winning the Welsh Open on Sunday, he was whitewashed 6-0 by John Higgins in the first round of the Players' Championship. Higgins hit three centuries in the first three frames to start that match. He'll now face Mark Selby. He defeated Mark Williams by 6-4 in Milton Keynes today. Tonight, Stuart Bingham, he plays Barry Hawkins. In cycling, Sam Bennett has claimed his first stage victory of 2021. Last year's winner of the Tour de France's green jersey won today's fourth stage of the UAE Tour. Bennett claimed the stage in a sprint finish from David Decker and Caleb Ewan. In boxing, Anthony Joshua says it's likely he'll face British boxing rival Tyson Fury in June, and it could happen in the UK. The government's roadmap out of lockdown aims to end social distancing restrictions in England. On June the 21st, the World Heavyweight Boxing Unification bout would be one of the biggest fights ever. Finally, this evening in horse racing, all amateur riders, including leading names like Patrick Mullins and Jamie Codd, won't be allowed to ride at Cheltenham Festival next month. It has been confirmed that the British COVID protocols rule them out until at least the end of March. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a new primary care centre in Newton Cunningham is set to be completed by year's end. The centre will house GP services, augmented by other facilities, which will mean fewer people having to travel to the likes of Letterkenny or Derry. The aim is to have the facility fully functional at the beginning of next year. Local councillor Paul Canning says the works are making steady progress.
The primary care centre in the middle of the village will be completed by the end of 2021. Now, I would like to, at this point, acknowledge the work done by the contractors through a really harsh winter, the contractors McDermott and Trierty. I would also like to acknowledge the patience that's been shown by the residents in that immediate area, because they allowed everything to go smoothly with no hiccups. So it's all so far so good. So the steelwork has been erected. If you drive through the village of Newton, you'll see the steelwork appearing. A lot of site work had to be done to get the site in the right format. So everything's going good so far, and hopefully we'll get good weather now to complete the project.
And while a number of factors obviously have contributed to maybe a delay, progress has been slow, I'm sure you would acknowledge.
The progress to get to the stage that we're at was slow in relation to planning, and because of the status of the old castle at a time. We lost about a year or 2 years in that process. But now that we got the green light, in fairness, the contractor is working long hours and through very harsh weather, as I've said. So things are on target and it looks good for the village of Newton. Also, the part of the contract means that there will be a zebra crossing at the bottom of the village that will help to ease with traffic problems that we're having at the moment.
It is figures show 97 staff at Letterkenny University Hospital are currently off work because they have tested positive for COVID-19 or have been deemed a close contact. The highest proportion of staff affected is nursing staff, with 47 absent from work. It's been confirmed that since December last year, 17 extra nurses have been employed at Letterkenny University Hospital. Vice Chair of the Regional Health Forum West, Councillor Jerry McMonigal, says while the number of staff affected by COVID-19 at the hospital has decreased, it still poses a danger to those on the front line.
It is a significant number. What it also shows is the extent that the staff are exposed to this horrible virus, and we can't praise them enough. This is down from a height of 190 earlier this year. So while COVID is moving in the right direction in relation to number of staff, it just shows you how dangerous a virus it has been for those on the front line.
And the highest proportion of those currently off work is nursing staff. And we already know that the hospital is under immense pressure, so this is ultimately adding to it.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's understandable that it's nursing staff. They're dealing with the patients on a daily basis, on a hands-on basis. As I said, it shows you the extent of danger that they're putting themselves to and doing their jobs, and they're to be commended for this. And that's why I'd also like to welcome the fact that since December that the hospital and its recruiting drive has recruited a further 17 nurses on full-term contracts, and that will go a long way to help and assist those deficiencies at the minute with COVID. But let nobody be under any illusions as to the nature of this virus and the danger it poses for us and the wider community, but especially for our frontline services and the hospital. And as I say, I would like to commend them for their duty and for their bravery in facing up this pandemic on a daily basis.
Weather now, some bright spells but mostly cloudy for the rest of the day with isolated showers dying out. Lowest temperatures tonight of 2 to 4 degrees and moderate to fresh west to southwest breezes. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, the government expects to have the capacity to deliver 500,000 vaccinations a week later this year. It's hoped 82% of people will have had their first injection by the end of June. A Stranorder GP is warning that if vaccination targets are to be met, a lot of the red tape needs to be removed. Most COVID-19 vaccines are set to be administered in mass vaccination centres, which in turn means they need to be adequately staffed. It's a significant day for Derry and Strabane as the heads of agreement for the £250 million city deal are signed. Almost £80 million has been allocated for numerous regeneration projects for Strabane, with the remainder to be spent in the city region. And after a lengthy campaign, a permanent ambulance base has been confirmed for Buncrana. Cover is set to be provided 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the town. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, February the 24th. The death has taken place of Con Wright, Lochnabraden, Fintown. Con's remains are reposing at his home. Con's funeral mass will take place on Friday at 12 noon in St. Colmkill's Chapel, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed on St. Colmkill's Chapel, Fintown Facebook page. The death has taken place of Moya Boyle, Nate Gallagher, Mean Bannett and formerly of Maharorti Gidor. Her remains are reposing in McGlynn's funeral home Dunlow until 7 o'clock this evening, with private removal to her late residence at 7 o'clock. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Kincashla, with burial afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has occurred of Joseph Blee, Drenan Ballybofey. Fionnuala leaving Hislead residence on Friday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Sheshe O'Neill, interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at facebook.com/St Mary's Sheshe O'Neill. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. In compliance with current government restrictions, the house funeral and burial will be strictly private to immediate family only, place with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Catherine McKeever, née Hegarty, Campbellstown, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, via the Golf Course Road and Maharennan for 11 o'clock funeral mass, which can be viewed on facebook.com/Irish Martyrs. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Irish Kidney Association, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSE guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to immediate family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. And the death has occurred in Romford, Essex, England, of Maisie Scott, formerly of Ballyheron, Kilmacrenan. Cremation will take place in South Essex. Service of remembrance or celebration of life will take place in Kilmacrenan Presbyterian Church at a later date, followed by the interment of ashes in the adjoining graveyard.